Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of today's reading is our epistle reading from Ephesians, the fifth chapter. How many of you here have heard about the Bird Box Challenge? Laura, you're smiling, so you've heard of it, okay. Well, it comes from the Netflix horror series about a mysterious force that drives anyone who looks at it into a suicidal and homicidal rage. It sounds so entertaining, doesn't it? To protect yourself from this force, you must do everything in your life blindfolded. Well, that has led many of the teens in our country to attempt to do things blindfolded, like drive cars. Recently, a 17-year-old Utah girl drove her pickup truck blindfolded into another car. That's what you'd expect, right? Fortunately, no one was injured. And yet, Nancy Pelosi wants to give 16-year-olds the right to vote. Sorry. You're just not ready. Now, who here would drive around blindfolded? I don't see anybody. Good. Good. How about driving around at night without your lights on? I don't see that either. Because you know the consequences of running around in the dark. God has given human beings wisely a natural fear of darkness because in the dark you can't see the dangers that are right in front of you. We prefer the light. Throughout Scripture, light is a metaphor for truth and goodness. Darkness is a metaphor for sin. And there's good reason that the Holy Spirit uses this metaphor. Disaster strikes those who wander in the dark. Cockroaches, they don't like the light. They scurry for the darkness, and that's the way of evil. An alley seems a lot more ominous in the dark than it does during the day. And criminals, well, they prefer to work under the cover of darkness. Reminds me of what happened to me one night when I was awakened back in Illinois. I heard a noise, so I got out with my super bright flashlight and looked around at the property next door where they were building a house. I didn't see anything or hear anything, so I thought I just dreamt something. But no, the next morning, tools and copper had been discovered stolen from the construction site. But they caught the guy when he tried to exchange the tools for a gift card at Menards. Jesus uses the term darkness to describe those who are lost in sin and those who oppose his works of salvation. When Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, Jesus said, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." And when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to his captors, "When I was with you day after day in the temple, you didn't lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Now, light, however, is used to describe God's word of truth and the salvation that he reveals in his Son, Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus twice calls himself the light of the world. For example, when he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus also called his disciples light in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Through the gift of holy baptism, God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Through the gospel, the Holy Spirit has called you and enlightened you, but with his gifts. No longer do you live in the darkness of sin and death, but now you walk in God's kingdom of light, where there is truth and purity and goodness. So in our epistle reading, Paul beckons you as God's people to do two things: to be imitators of God and walk as children of light. With these two commandments, Paul desires to protect your faith and life in Christ and to encourage your faithful confession of God's word of truth. Paul says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. In Holy Scripture, to walk means to make something your lifestyle. To walk as children of light means to make godly living your lifestyle. It means to live your Christian life in accordance with the teachings of God's Word. For God's Word is light and truth. It also means to resist sin, temptation, and the devil's call to return to the world of darkness. To avoid that which is against God and which is against your faith in Jesus Christ. And to live your life as a reflection of God's grace in you. For at one time, Paul says, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Before the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you through the gospel, it was impossible for you to do anything that would please God, because all that you did, no matter how good it might have appeared to you, you did as children of darkness. But now, God has brought life and immortality to light in you through baptism and the gospel. The Holy Spirit lives in you and guides your life by the word of God. He gives you the power to do what is good and right and pleasing to the Lord. Yet from the moment the Holy Spirit brought you into God's kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness has tried to reclaim you. It's tried to reclaim you through the power of sin, through the power of temptation, and through the power of false teaching. Thus Paul warns, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. Do not become partakers with the world of darkness. It is the devil's kingdom. Paul then tells the Christian what kinds of lifestyles to avoid that dishonor God and destroy your faith in Christ. Sexual immorality, all impurity or covetousness, which Paul calls idolatry. It is the craving of something that isn't yours. You crave it so much that you make the desire for that thing your God, your idol. He also mentions filthiness, foolish talk, and crude joking. Now understand this, all sin is dangerous. All sin is contrary to God's will. And all sin, no matter how minor, if left unrepented, condemns you before God. But lifestyle sins are especially dangerous. For once you make a particular sin your way of life, you'll resist with all your being God's call to repent. Thus, lifestyle sins, by their very definition, leave you in a state of unbelief and condemnation. As Paul says, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Instead of being imitators of God and walking in the light, such people walk in the darkness under the wrath and condemnation of God. Of all the lifestyle sins mentioned in Scripture, such as gossip, drunkenness, thievery, false teaching, and so on, sexual sins are likely the most dangerous to your life and faith in Christ, which is why Paul beseeches that they shouldn't even be named among Christians, for fear that even mentioning them might lead to ungodly thoughts and curiosities. In my experience as a pastor, sexual sins are even more devastating to your life with God than drug addictions or drunkenness. They are among the strongest and most pervasive forces in our culture that lead people, especially young people, away from Christ and His church. It's no wonder Paul says, let them not even be named among you. The voices today say, don't just name them, do them. And if anyone says your lifestyle is wrong, let that person be condemned. In fact, it is considered unloving to tell someone that their sexual lifestyle of choice is indeed contrary to God's will, indeed is a sin. Love has been given a whole new meaning in our culture. It now means to let people do whatever they want. But should that be the attitude of God's people? Are sexual sins innocuous, simply a matter of one's choice? Or are they so lethal that Paul doesn't even want them mentioned? Like Voldemort, he who should not be named because he was so evil in the Harry Potter novels. Today the true church gets all kinds of grief, though, because of her desire to save people from their sins. And that includes the sins of a sexual nature. We are told that we, the church, must change, or we, the church, will die. But God's word and judgment against sin don't change. The church, as God's mouthpiece, must proclaim both the message of grace as well as the message of sin, the message of forgiveness as well as the message of repentance. So even though there are those in this culture and in the media who like to tell Christians, you can't tell me whom I can love, the truth is God can. And even though the church isn't called to be the world's moral policeman, it is still called to be God's mouthpiece, to stand on God's word of truth. For it isn't loving to allow people to walk into God's wrath and condemnation without warning, especially the people we call our fellow believers. For we are indeed our brother's keeper. Which takes us to the second point of our reading. For the sake of our faith, and because the world needs the church to stand on the love and truth of God's word, therefore do not become partners with them. For one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. These words mean that you have been called out of darkness into God's kingdom of light and truth and hope and love and peace for a reason. Your walk as children of light has a purpose, a God-given purpose. Now imagine for a moment how dark this world would be without the Word of God and the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. I picture a world like that in the days before the flood of Noah, when every intention of man's heart was only for evil. That world was truly a dark and frightening place. So how is God's love made known in a world lost in the darkness of sin? How does God bring life and immortality to light to those who are under the rule of the devil? God does so through you. Your walk as children of light has the purpose of bringing the light of God's love and truth in Christ Jesus into a world darkened by sin. Your Christian walk, your life lived according to the Word of God, brings into the lives of your family and your friends and your neighbors the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. St. Paul wrote, "For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true," meaning it is found in you and what you do for your neighbor. Your Christian walk, your life lived according to the Word of God, tells other people that God's Word is true. You live by the word of God because it is true. You honor God by confessing his word, not just with your lips, but also with your life, even if it means you will come under the pain and suffering of ridicule and persecution. In this world, people are dedicated to living only for themselves. People don't want to make sacrifices for others anymore, but the Christian lives the word of God by living for others and making sacrifices for their neighbor. Your Christian walk, your life lived according to the word of God, is an encouragement as well to other Christians. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's a pastor in Iowa City, Iowa, which is the home of the University of Iowa. And he was asked to talk to one of his parishioners' college classes about sexual morality. Most of the class despised him. But after he left, a handful of Christian kids came up to him and said, thank you so much for speaking on our behalf. It is encouragement for other Christians when we confess the truth of God's word in the public square. Yet, you know, the world rightly calls us hypocrites. That's because, try as we may, we often fail to walk as children of light. We often succumb to the enticing words of false teachers, those empty words of the culture that beckon us to return to the darkness. We follow the world instead of following Christ. We've allowed our sinful flesh to have its way in our lives. We want to give a pass to the sexual deviancy of our age so that we can have peace with the world. And the thing is, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we know that we have failed to walk as children of the light every day of our lives. In these moments, when we know and feel our sin, know that Christ's light still shines in you. We teach in Lutheran Church that the Lord's Supper is especially for believers who know and feel the weight and depth of their sins, who know that they have failed in their walk as God's people. So here at the Lord's table is Jesus for you, bringing life and immortality to light for you, giving you the very body that died on the cross, the very blood that was shed for you, so that you know that your sins are forgiven, that you are reconciled to God your Father, so that you can be assured that you are indeed beloved children of God, and so that you can receive the strength that you need to be what God has called you to be, imitators of himself. And so that you can walk as children of light in this world of darkness and be a blessing to those who are still caught in the darkness of sin. The Lord's Supper announces that Jesus is the strong man who has bound and defeated Satan, who has taken you from Satan's stronghold and brought you into God's kingdom. It is Jesus who's done this, and he does it every day in your life. God has called you as to be his beloved children. He has called you out of the darkness of sin and death so that you may walk as children of light and live with him forever. And as you walk as children of light, know that Christ's light shines through you into a world that is in desperate need of the light of God's love and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.